and welcome to ROI, Relevant or Irrelevant, the radio show where events of history are examined through the discussion of books, journal articles, papers, and presentations. Then historians and history buffs ask the question, what is relevant or irrelevant in today's world? My name is Jay Swords, and this is our 551st show of ROI. Our guest today is Teek Root, freelance journalist, and we're going to be talking about an article that he wrote, What Happens When a School Bans Cell Phones? Joining us for the second segment of our show is our history buff, Rick Sweet. So to start off, welcome to the show, Teek.
Thank you for having me.
We are very excited. I will, in the interest of fair disclosure, I will mention that I am a recently retired school teacher. So this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. So I can't wait to get into this.
Yeah, no, it sounds like you probably know more about this than I do.
Well, I'm not sure that's true, but anyway. So the first segment is called Farooq Dinaran, and our goal really is just to give listeners a little background. So I'm interested, first of all, why did you decide to write this particular article?
To be honest, it was an assignment. An editor of mine was doing a series about cell phones and their effect on public life, and this was one of the areas that they want to look to, since you know, so many kids spend you know, a third of their day in school.
All right. Well, so that's an interesting. Were you excited when you got this assignment? Was this something you'd given some thought to, or were you like, oh wow, I know zero about this?
No, not at all. I don't have kids yet, and when I was a kid, cell phones weren't a thing, so I hadn't even really thought too much about it. So it was an interesting chance to sort of dive into something I wasn't expecting. And I definitely was excited. You know, it's always fun to learn new things and new subjects. And, you know, I am going to be a parent soon, so this is a subject I will have to cross at some point. So I might as well be prepared.
Okay. Well, so the obvious question place to start would be simply, what's wrong with cell phones in school? What did your research turn up as problems that cell phones seem to cause?
I mean, I think they're the typical problems, sort of distraction and, you know, how does it link to school performance? I think there's some research that shows there is a dip. But I think there were some other issues that I wasn't expecting when it comes to sort of social interactions, like the anxiety that cell phones can cause and the bullying that comes with it, and just the amount of you know, activity, both academic and otherwise, that happens on them.
I was, as I read your article, the thing that jumped out to me as a school teacher was when you were talking about the survey of the school district in Virginia, where teachers were saying that they were telling kids to put their cell phones away 5 to 10 times per class, and that you had a significant number of folks who were doing it more than 20. I can tell you, as a school teacher, that 20 number is not extraordinary. You were constantly dealing with it all the time, if you were going to deal with it at all. It was so bad that teachers simply gave up. And rather than fight that continual fight, they simply said, you know what, if there are 10 kids listening, then there are 10 kids listening, and that's the best I can do. So, you know, that really rang true.
What grade was that?
This was high school. Yeah, this was high school, so 9 through 12.
I sort of, you guys are saints to have to deal with that. That must be tough.
It was very, you know, it was very frustrating. And so I know that your article talked a little bit about, you know, that frustration of teachers. What was one quote I think I read, you know, I'm tired of being the cell phone police.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I can imagine if it's 20 times a class and you have 4 or 5 classes a day, you're doing it 100 times a day. And that is probably more than police do some things every day. So, you know, I can imagine it must be so frustrating to be in that position.
Did you have any contact, or did you see anything talking about staff and frustrations with trying to deal with those? Was that really the issue, or were there other things that came up that teachers also talked about as being frustrating about cell phones?
I think attention was a major one, and just trying to keep kids, on track in the middle of the class. So, I mean, I think that was a big one. And then the other stuff that, as I mentioned, that came with it, they would have kids that would, come in not focused and not because of their cell phone directly in front of them, but maybe someone had bullied them 10 minutes before in the hall or on their cell phone, and then they couldn't focus in class, stuff like that, where it really was pervasive beyond the immediate cell phone use as well.
Okay, so I want to flip to the other side of that, because there certainly is, whenever schools start talking about banning or restricting access to cell phones, there is always a hue and cry that pops up. So what are the kinds of things, why do kids and or parents argue strongly for having cell phones available in schools?
I mean, I think one of the classic arguments that students use is that it allows them to call their parents in the event of an emergency. So, I think in some cases that's sort of a hollow argument, because if you're sick, you can go to the principal's office and use a phone there, or you can find a way to use another phone. But there are, with the advent of the increase in sort of school violence and school shootings, it's not unreal to think that a student might be in a position where they need to contact their parents in a situation like that. Though again, teachers do say that obviously the school is able to do some of that work as well. And I think the other argument that comes from mostly teachers is that being the policeman creates an adversarial relationship with their students that isn't conducive to learning. And so some of them have decided not to play that role, and they don't want to, have that tension between them and their students. And then there's another group, and I heard this from a guidance counselor I know and quoted in the story, who makes a good point. Like, if school is to teach you about learning and how to deal with, real life and succeed, cell phones are going to be a part of that. Cell phones aren't suddenly going to go away. And so school as an opportunity to learn how to responsibly use cell phones, that could be a role for the classroom too.
Okay. Well, we obviously have a lot more to talk about, so please stay tuned for the next segment of our show. This is ROI on KALA St. Ambrose University, 106.1 FM.
In times of joy, in moments of grief, broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hello and welcome back to ROI. Relevant or Irrelevant, the radio show where events of history are examined through the discussion of books, journal articles, papers, and presentations. Then historians and history buffs ask the question, what is relevant or irrelevant in today's world? My name is Jay Swords. This is the second segment of our show, referred to as the Kitchen Table. And our guest for today is Teek Root, freelance journalist, and we're talking about an article that he wrote, What Happens When a School Bans Smartphones? Our history buff for today is Rick Sweet. So, Rick, start us out.
I will do that. Teek, read your article as well, and I was wondering, other than the learning to be responsible and using a cell phone, did you come up from any teachers or administrators who gave any other positive effects of the cell phone proliferation in the educational institutions?
I think there are some teachers who use it as learning tools, right? So like at the end of college, started to see some of this in the classroom where, the teacher might have a poll or a question on the board, and the students can respond on their phones, and it will be sort of an instantaneous check-in to get a sense of where students are at, and they can track it that way. Or, you know, using cell phones with a biology class to go out and sort of, you know, take pictures and document stuff when you're out in the nature. So I think there are definitely other, you know, positives of having cell phones as well.
Teek, I'm curious. So what kinds of solutions have schools tried to manage the problem? What did you find? Were there a range? Are there really only a few limited opportunities? You know, what can we do here?
No, I think there's a total range from complete bans to being allowed to be used in the hallway but not during class time. Some schools have these pouches they put them in that, you know, they put them in when they come in and then they, you know, take them out when they come out. You know, some teachers collect them at the beginning. So there's a total range of how schools have dealt with this, and some of them have decided just to, you know, leave it as is too. And so yeah, I don't think there's a one size fits all solution out there. And then of course the school I visited, you know, replaced all their smartphones with dumb phones to see how that would work.
You know, so I got to follow up here because I thought that was such a great term, and I sure want to know if that's a kid's thing or if staff were calling that or whatever. But describe what a dumb phone is.
Yeah, so in this case, it was a phone that whose primary function was to call and text. And it had, I think it had even had a T9 keyboard and not a full typing keyboard. So the whole goal was for it to be slow. I think dumb phone is generally referred to as a phone without sort of internet connectivity or sort of the more advanced functions that we know today. Technically, this phone that they had could connect to the internet, and there were sort of dumbed down versions of very basic apps that could be used. So, you know, I don't know if it was technically a full dumb phone, but it was, for all intents and purposes, intentionally slow and not nearly as functional as the smartphones we have today.
Okay. Rick?
I think what the dumb phone is, Jay, is the original flip phone we all had that all you used it for was make a phone call.
Right, right.
Teek, you mentioned briefly in the introduction about mental health issues. You'd mentioned, you know, the bullying that could come across in text messages and what have you. But what did you find across the range that you looked at that what kind of mental health issues were being found?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's ranging from bullying. I think one of the quotes from the guidance counselor in my story was that he'll have kids routinely come in with to talk about a Snapchat that ruined their entire day. And so I think bullying is part of it. I think addiction is probably part of it as well. And I was coming across kids who are just used to scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and spending hours a day on their phone. And so I think, you know, there's any number of issues that arose from what people were saying.
Teek, I'm interested along the same lines. One of the problems that we started noticing my last five or so years of teaching is that students were using their cell phones, the video function on their cell phone, to sort of capture on digital behaviors or misbehaviors, and in particular, the problem that popped up the most that I heard about, at least, was kids got into the habit of trying to bait teachers. So the idea was, I'm going to do something outrageous, get the teacher to lose their temper, and then all of my friends are going to videotape it, and it's going to end up on Facebook or Snapchat or wherever those things go, you know, as quickly as possible, and you know, that would be hilarious. There'd be this wonderfully embarrassing moment. Did you hear of those kinds of instances either? Was that something that was just maybe more specific to where I happen to be, or is that something that shows up a little more universally?
I actually hadn't heard the baiting instance before. That's definitely new and kind of wild. I mean, I guess it's not surprising that kids would try to do that, but it's doesn't feel like a very safe environment to be a teacher. One of the ones I did hear about, though, fairly consistently, is that kids, when they were allowed to use them in the classroom, they would use their phones to coordinate mass bathroom breaks. And so kids from different classes would all coordinate a time to go to the bathroom, and then they would go hang out in the bathroom. And that's one that I heard a couple of times from teachers, that it was something that they were having to deal with.
Yeah, we've had a couple of instances here in the Quad Cities where kids have done that to coordinate fights, where, you know, it's like, okay, everybody be in the hallway at blah, 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 you know, this corner of the building, and you end up, instead of a fight between two people, you ended up with a fight between 20 people that became much more dangerous, and it was all sort of coordinated mm-hmm. by text.
Yeah, I could easily see that happening. I didn't actually hear about it used for fighting in particular, but yeah, coordinated activity by students for sure.
Okay. Rick.
Well, you know, in a sense, Jay, that is a skill that is needed in life, you know, organizing and planning and execution.
So right.
there could be a shining side of that.
Silver lining, right.
Yeah, there might be one. Teek, I know from local news, and when I go out to the kids' homes in Colorado and Oregon, they have stories where parents are at PTA meetings and, you know, almost physically violent with the administration about any attempt to control their child's cell phone use while at school. Did you run across any bizarre stories where, you know, Johnny and Mary need their phone because, you know, if they have a sniffle or they have an ache or they don't want to go to the doctor, they call mom or dad? Did you come across any hostile parent models in your research?
No, I didn't come across any hostile parents. One interesting thing that did come up, though, I talked to the mom of one of the students at this school, and she was also a teacher at a local public school. And it was interesting because the mom in her classroom didn't support cell phone bans. As a teacher, she didn't want to be the cell phone police, but she said it actually worked really well for her daughter as a student. So it was an interesting juxtaposition there. I did hear, you know, back a little bit to the sort of the mental health effects. You know, at this boarding school, I did hear one student tell me that it was really isolating for them not to have a cell phone, you know, because they, you know, suffered from some social anxiety disorders, and it was easier for them to communicate with their friends and stuff digitally sometimes, and they felt sort of cut off from a whole community they used to have by not having their cell phone. And they said that was having a mental, you know, health effect on them too.
Well, so let's kind of stay with the mental health side of things. I thought it was absolutely dead on and interesting that you talked about one of the, you know, some students at Buxton, at least, going through the stages of grief. You know, that first there was panic that you were taking away, then grief that I don't have this, and then ultimately they reached some sort of acceptance. You know, I find that very interesting. What did you think of that? Were you surprised that kids were grieving over their cell phone loss?
Honestly, I wasn't surprised they were grieving. I was surprised by the level of acceptance I found. Most kids weren't that upset by this. I mean, they were at first, but, and there's obviously a good chunk of cheating that goes on. Kids sneak them in and et cetera, et cetera. But I was actually just blown away by, one, how few cell phones I saw. I think I saw one maybe out of the corner of my eye, but even that I wasn't sure. And how happy students were about it. They sort of complained, but it wasn't nearly as much as I expected. The funniest complaint I heard, though, it actually was really interesting, was that they didn't have cameras to take photos all the time. And they were some of the seniors were bummed that they weren't able to chronicle their last year at school with more photos to have. And enrollment in the photography class, like, I think it was quadrupled or something like that. It went up astronomically because kids didn't have, cameras on their phones.
That's fascinating. So I'm out with my Kodak taking the group photo instead of pulling it out of my pocket.
Remember the Polaroid?
Exactly.
Right, yeah, remember the Polaroid. Yeah, exactly. I absolutely do and still have Polaroid pictures, believe it or not. So another question that I had, you know, I also thought that was very interesting that the coursework, you know, that you switched over to that. But I think you also talked about how kids started interacting with each other, that you actually got more direct conversation because you couldn't text or, you know, do those sorts of things. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because, again, as a teacher, it's and a parent, it's one of the things that really jumps out at me is how much the younger generation, this last couple of generations, really seem to be disconnected in a huge sea of individual or of people. You know, it feels like they've got a million friends on their Facebook or whatever it is, and yet there's no direct conversation happening amongst any of them. How did you see all of that playing out?
I mean, both students and administrators told me that the number of face-to-face conversations had really, seemed to be on the uptick, from what I, and then I was only there one day, but even my short visit, it was pretty obvious. And I think, I led the story with a scene at lunch that really struck me. To get 40, 50 plus teenagers together for an hour long meal and not see a cell phone the whole time is just stunning. I don't know if I've, I don't know if I've seen that, in decades. It doesn't happen with people I know. It doesn't happen with adults I know. To see it happen with kids was really fascinating.
Another question I kind of had, you said you didn't grow up with cell phones. I certainly didn't grow up with cell phones. In fact, I had to be drug kicking and screaming into the cell phone world, and I'm still the butt of any number of technology-related jokes.
And we'll continue doing that.
Yeah, it's a fair cop. I mean, they're absolutely dead on the money. But I one of the things that I find interesting is that generations of people, whether we're talking about parents or grandparents, who didn't have access to cell phones seem to have become so dependent on them that, you know, when you were talking about people, you know, teaching responsible use of your cell phone, it seems to me that the adults need that class maybe as much or if not more than the parents. In your conversations, how was that sort of played out where people are like, wow, this is this new thing. Is it good or bad? Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, the adults were, at this boarding school, the adults, were given dumb phones as well and weren't supposed to use their smartphones either. You know, I saw more cheating from the adults than I did from the kids.
Yes.
One or two instances were for work reasons, but definitely, they had everyone on board, and I think it was the adults were telling me it was an interesting lesson for them as well. It certainly, I don't think, you know, to your point, that it's something that adults are immune to either. But I think that's why it's an interesting point that we should be teaching responsible cell phone use from the start, because the adults today were handed cell phones more or less as adults to start with, and this is probably, I would say, the first generation to actually grow up with them. And so if there's a way to sort of model and test and develop a way to use them responsibly, I think, you know, trying various things like switching to a dumb phone for a bit before you graduate to a smartphone, you know, is an interesting take.
Okay, Rick, your last question.
All right, well, I was I was going to ask, Teak, what happens when a school bans smartphones?
What happens when a school or this school?
Give me an example of a school that did ban smartphones, and was it burned to the ground, or was there a siege of medieval knights in the parking lot? Did you have an example of a school that actually attempted to ban all cell phones?
Yeah, I don't think I actually ended up talking to a school that had fully banned cell phones. I did talk to the mom of one of the students at this boarding school that did dumb phones. She had been in various schools that had various degrees of cell phone bans. You know, and it sounds like she wasn't some that did ban schools or ban phones. And I don't think it was so much that the school burned to the ground. I think that
it was a metaphor. I was using a metaphor there.
Well, no. I don't think it was so much that it was total pandemonium chaos. I think it was the teachers, you know, started to have this adversarial relationship with students that they weren't a fan of. They didn't like being the cell phone police. But to answer your point, no, I didn't talk to any schools that had a total cell phone ban to see how that was going.
All right. Well, it is customary that we give our guest the last word on our show. So, Teak, why do you think knowing about the issue of cell phones in schools in general is relevant in today's world?
I think students today are going to have to deal with this question. And if we aren't talking about it, we aren't thinking about it, we aren't testing ways to make this happen, you're just going to go into it blind. And so I think that it's really important to just think about this before you have to send your kid to school with or without a cell phone, or before, you know, you're a teacher that has to deal with this issue. I think these developing feelings on these things takes time. And so reading about it early and often can't possibly hurt.
All right. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up. So please stay tuned. This is ROI on KALA St. Ambrose University, 106.1 FM.
You're listening to Relevant or Irrelevant. This series is produced at St. Ambrose University's KALA Radio and has been honored by the Midwest Broadcast Journalists Association and the Iowa Broadcast News Association for excellence in public affairs journalism. You can hear this edition of ROI and many previous programs in this series by visiting Spotify, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, plus Apple Podcasts. ROI airs Friday nights at 9:30 p.m. on KALA HD2 and can also be heard at 106.1 FM in the metropolitan Quad City area. You can stream this show every Friday night at tunein.com. Search for KALA HD2.
This concludes our 551st show of ROI, Relevant or Irrelevant. Our producer and engineer is Dave Baker, program manager is Rick Sweet, and the theme song of our show is titled Kayla's Theme and was written and performed by Mark Zapp Zapital. My name's Jay Swords. We'd like to thank our guest, Teak Root, freelance journalist. We've been talking about his article, What Happens When a School Bans Smartphones. Our history buff today was Rick Sweet. This is ROI, Relevant or Irrelevant, on KALA. The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of St. Ambrose University or KALA. We would like to wish all of our listeners to experience the great Basutu proverb, Hotza Pula Nala, peace, reign, and prosperity. And remember, historians are horrible fortune tellers. Good night.